This is the Sports Haven Podcast, coming to you live from Seattle, Washington, with your host, Jeff Budke. Visit us online at SafePlaySports.com.
Welcome to the Sports Haven Podcast. My name is Jeff Budke, and I'm just starting this new trend right now where I just get as many different guests as I can in a short amount of time. Josh Norquist, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We're doing a special podcast today centered on the one, the only Portland Trail Blazers. Dearly beloved.
Dearly beloved.
We are gathered here to talk about the best basketball team in the world, in the Northwest.
The world of the Northwest.
The world of Cascadia. In Cascadia, we've lost the Grizzlies, we've lost the Sonics. Hopefully we get the Sonics.
Survivor. If this was an episode of Survivor, Portland would be the best.
I feel like this might not be the best reason, but I really feel just a passion for getting the Sonics back to Seattle.
Sure.
Because we live in Seattle, I'm sick of the Blazers games being blacked out for local games.
I don't understand. Rumor is that's not going to be the thing next year, by the way. I was reading about that.
Of this upcoming year?
Yeah.
So we can get League Pass.
We can get League Pass. Breaking news, by the way, for all you Seattle listeners.
We can get League Pass and watch Blazers games.
Jeff and I are getting League Pass.
Trust me, lots of people are going to hear this, and they're going to want to know that right away. So I pulled up, for just for fun, and because I wasn't sure, I pulled up last year's Christmas Day opening day starting lineup and our roster.
Oh, my God.
And then I pulled up the roster we have now.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very different.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just going to name off some names that of guys that aren't here anymore. So we got Gerald Wallace, Raymond Felton. We can talk about Fat Felton for a while.
Fat Felton.
Marcus Camby, Jamal Crawford, Kurt Thomas, Chris Johnson. All played opening day against the Sixers last year on December 26th. And all of them are gone. As far as people who are still here, LaMarcus Aldridge, All-Star, Wesley Matthews, Nicholas Batum, and Nolan Smith is still on the team.
He's still on the team. After the Summer League fiasco, that was that one collision. You remember that? Did you ever see
that? Was that this year or last year?
That was this year, actually. He got hit.
I've only seen one thing this year. I just watched that Damian Lillard clip over and over and over again.
That was a great thing.
I did hear about this. Yeah. Nolan Smith. Was it a fight or was it...
No, not quite. There's 1 minute left, all right, in the Summer League game. He's on a fast break. There's like, I don't know, 40 seconds. So he's got to put a shot up. He just goes to the hoop strong, like Nolan Smith's been doing. He just tore up the Summer League.
Yeah.
And some guy, I don't think he's ever played basketball before. They just suited him up. Jumped up to block a shot and put his elbow right in like the base of his neck, right in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And we took him off on a stretcher and they called the game. It was crazy.
That's rough.
Yeah, so it's good that he's...
on the roster.
Yeah, living.
It is kind of funny. We think about last year. Nate McMillan, also coach. Brandon Roy, also projected to play all of last year. Neither of those things worked out.
No, they definitely did not. Where is Nate McMillan? Has anyone seen Nate McMillan since he got fired?
I have. I saw him in the Olympic game.
He's still
on staff. He was on staff. D'Antoni was on staff. Coach K, who lost in the first round of this year's NCAA tournament, to prepare for the Olympics, I'm pretty sure. That's like the only reason he did that. He's like, why don't you guys just lose to this 15 seed and I'll get ready for the Olympics. Then I'll retire.
Is Jim Boeheim on staff?
Still is. Yeah. Still is. It's a good staff.
It's great.
I think they should all just coach the Blazers. But that's actually not the case. We have a new head coach. Now we have a new GM.
That's right. We don't need him. We got Terry Stotts.
Stotts! I think there's some puns available, some creative signs that the Rose Garden is going to host.
Oh, I'm sure.
You looked up some information on Terry Stotts. You want to share that with the listener who maybe has no idea who he is.
Yeah, wouldn't fault you for that. He was head coach of the Bucks and then did a stint with yours truly, the Sonics.
Well, think about the rich history of Bucks coaching.
The Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, absolutely. They are famous for that. Who else? Terry Porter. Really panned
did
out.
Did Lawrence Frank do that?
Well, I don't know. Wasn't he with the Nets and then he...
He's just a very pale man and I associate him with places without the sun.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. No, yeah, so Terry Stotts, he was a CBA basketball star. Became a coach. Most recently 4 years with the Mavericks. So he's got a ring, I guess.
You know what? I love the ring. Yeah. Flags fly forever. You know, rings stay there. They don't change. So he knows how to be a champion.
Yeah. So hopefully he brings some of that Dirk Nowitzki defense that Dallas is so famous for.
And maybe some, you know, some of the teeth lodged in Dirk's...
That was a gross thing. No, and yeah, his overall record is not great. He coached 283 games, and he won 115 of them.
Not a good percentage.
It's not. Do you want to take a stab at what that is, Mac Genius?
39%.
You just looked it up.
I didn't. I'm looking at Neil Shonley's Olshey, the GM's name, because I forgot it.
Neil O'Shea. O'Shea, think, okay. Yeah, I think that's how you say it. I've never heard someone say it yet.
Okay. What is the percentage? Did you?
40%. 40.6.
Should have said.
You were really close.
I was. So Neil O'Shea, when he was hired, I was actually pretty excited. Los Angeles Clippers GM, just because we haven't had a GM since Richard Cho was fired, and he only lasted about 9 months.
Right.
I miss Kevin Pritchard having a voice to argue with Paul Allen, to go against Paul Allen at times, who was the owner. And O'Shea's done well with the Clippers.
Yeah.
Taking a cursed organization like the Blazers and getting Blake Griffin, getting Chris Paul.
Yeah, he's made some great moves. He also has a habit of hiring the worst coach available, hiring Vinny Villanueva.
Dunleavy.
And then doing it again.
Didn't he extend him before he left?
Yeah. That was
classic. Classic move. Well, how can I really screw the Clippers before I leave? I'm going to give Del Negro an extension.
Yeah, so Vinny Del Negro is sitting on the bench next to Chauncey Billups. And then, yeah, Terry Stotts. And I think, if I remember right...
Were there no other candidates?
There were other candidates. Terry Stotts was the only one that had been a head coach before. Oh, and Caleb Canales, who was the assistant head coach for the Blazers forever.
Who interimed last year.
Yeah, for last, and had like a sparkling 9-20 record or something like that.
But he won that first game. You remember when they fired McMillan and they beat the Bulls, who were first place in the East, had the best record in the NBA, and you and I text each other, playoffs? Only like 15 games back.
That's right. And I mean, I'm no math whiz, so test me on this, but I'm pretty sure 9-20 is better than
Olshey's record.
Yeah. So he really does go like for the lowest available number. No, but yeah, so he's got on his staff not one, but two assistant coaches that have yet to see 40 years on this earth.
Okay.
Which is surprising. If you take a look at the Lakers roster, they have
plenty of players.
They have Steve Nash is older than two of the assistant coaches on the Blazers.
You know what? Maybe you can't move forward until you really start over.
Sure.
I'm just really trying. I'm really trying to pull something out.
No, yeah, you can't. And that's why we got Neil O'Shea.
Well, there are some reasons to be excited for this year, at least for me. It's funny looking at the roster again, and it shows the salaries, and we got Aldridge getting paid a bunch. Batum, we just signed. We're going to talk about Batum in a little bit. And then the rest of the guys, their contracts are more like rookie contracts, especially one, Damian Lillard, a Weber State kid. He led the league in scoring. And by league, I mean he led all of college basketball in scoring last year.
He led the NBA last
year. And so, inevitably, he will lead the NBA in scoring this year.
That's right.
You know, if one person's going to average a triple-double, I figure why not Damian Lillard?
Why not Damian Lillard?
Yeah. And maybe J.J. Hickson and LaMarcus Aldridge can have career years.
Is it weird? This is a weird thing. I think maybe just because J.J. Hickson was on the Cavs when the Cavs had Anderson Varejão and a bunch of people I hated. Mm-hmm. LeBron. For some reason, I can't get behind the J.J. Hickson guy. Like, I just feel like...
You want to know something mind-blowing here?
I want to see him fall through a pick or something.
Okay, so Cleveland had an opportunity to trade... LeBron's last year there, when they lost to the Celtics, when LeBron famously left that summer. That trade deadline, they had the opportunity to trade J.J. Hickson straight up for Amari Stoudemire to the Suns. J.J. Hickson was too valuable to that team, and they said no.
Oh, my gosh.
Amari was still good then.
That's true. Well, I mean, to be fair, Amari did end up punching... fire extinguisher later that year. So maybe the Cavs knew something.
They dodged a bullet there. Can you imagine that team with no LeBron, no Antoine Jamison, just with Amari Stoudemire?
Just Amari and his bloody eight fingers. Gosh.
Byron Scott, poor guy, shouldn't have taken that job. But Damian Lillard, I am excited about. That is the moral of that story.
That is, absolutely. He's very exciting. He's just, my gosh. I don't even know where to start with how awesome he is.
Because I made a joke. I said that Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook had a baby, and it's Damian Lillard. And then you said you were talking about Chauncey Billups being one of the fathers.
Definitely.
One of the three fathers. And just his athleticism and what seems to be, at least in the summer league and in college, his court vision and his ability to just pick things up really, really quickly.
Right. He's got great, great vision for the game, really good balance. Probably from the things that I was hearing, the best pick and roll point guard coming out in the draft this year, which is good because we have a lot of pick and roll players really set up to do that kind of thing. So that's exciting. He, in the combine, had really similar measurements to Derrick Rose, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, I think Derrick Rose was 19 and Damian Lillard's.
He is 22.
22, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, if any team could use a rookie with more experience, it's the Blazers right now, just being such a young team. We don't have a player. We have one player over 30. Can you guess who that is, by the way?
Is it Sasha Vujicic or is it Jared Jeffries?
Jared Jeffries.
That's right.
Love that. Any way we could get rid of Fat Felton and add a Jared Jeffries to your team.
Oh, my gosh.
Sasha Pavlovich. is only 28. Myers Leonard, another first-round draft pick. He's been called many names in his life, but my favorite is White Howard.
The White Mare.
The White Mare is so good.
Which is a play on, Dwight's nickname.
And he is 7'1", 245, just big honky is what he is. And I feel good going into this season knowing, it reminds me a little bit of Brandon Roy's rookie year, Aldridge's rookie year, and just the Rise With Us mantra that carried that team for quite a while. And I really thought it would take us a while to restart, and it seems like we have.
Yeah, it does feel like there is kind of that same buzz, that same expectation around Damian Lillard as there was around Brandon Roy after his first couple of months in this season. I don't think that, I mean, Myers Leonard is obviously not going to be the offensive player that LaMarcus Aldridge is.
But, I mean, how else could we replace Prince Billa on the team? Yeah, but keep going.
But they're both going to be really good pieces. Myers Leonard's an incredible athlete. He is so, so fast and jumps so well and just works really hard, which you can't get enough of, you know? You can't get enough 7-foot guys that are willing to throw their bodies on the deck, you know? There aren't that many people that'll do that.
We talked a little bit, J.J. Hicks and LaMarcus Aldridge, right. Myers Leonard, all able to play the pick and roll with Damian Lillard. That was a very strong Nate McMillan theme.
True.
Very slow offense. He tried to pick it up last year, but before that, very slow, very methodical, very pick and roll. Hit Weston Matthews in the corner, hit Nick Batum in the corner, and go from there. And it seems like we have a team better built for McMillan than he's had in a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably fair to say as the planes all go by.
We are at a naval base. That's a helicopter. I'll put that... I'll edit that out.
Bring the troops home or something.
Yeah.
War, anti-war, I don't know. What are we?
This is for the troops. Whether they want to come home or stay there.
You just do whatever.
This is for them. So Nick Batum. Let's talk Nick Batum a little bit.
Okay.
He was in France getting all geared up for the Olympics this summer, going through negotiations with the Blazers all the last year. And the Timberwolves signed him to a restricted free agent contract. Or no, they agreed upon.
Yeah.
And there were rumors coming out that he'd always wanted to play in Minnesota. A ridiculous statement, by the way. No one's ever grown up in France and dreamed of living in Minnesota their whole life. But let's just say that's true. The Blazers matched the contract. Where are your expectations for Nick Batum now? Are they higher or lower? Or does this feel like an arranged marriage right now that he's kind of stuck in?
Yeah, I mean, I think 2 years ago, I would have been more comfortable with the contract. He's still a super young kid.
He's 23 now. Just turned 23.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, a ton of years to develop still. He just doesn't seem to really, and I mean, a million people have said this, but he just doesn't really exhibit that killer instinct. You know, he doesn't have Jordan in him at all. Mm. But he could definitely be a really nice player. He could definitely be a starting small forward on a championship team, you know.
And these players, I mean, he's getting about $10 million a year. That's about the cost of one of these guys now in the league for a top-notch, you know. It's not a max contract by any means.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some... I mean, he has some lapses mentally on defense sometimes. He's, obviously built to be a defensive stopper. He's got incredible length.
Tayshaun Prince 2.0, right. For those that haven't seen Nicholas Batum in a while.
Yeah, that's totally right. He just doesn't quite have the attention span that we need from him. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, just get... Terry Stotts a prescription to some Ritalin, and we should be set, I think.
I mean, I think you have to avoid Nicholas Batum being an area where people fake being fouled or flop, because he'll just punch them in the nads.
That's right. Nicholas Batum is going to hate the Lakers this year.
I assume Meta World Peace is going to get punched. I assume Kobe will get punched. And that one guy, the center they got, whatever his name is, number 12, he's... By the way, kid, all the kids listening out there, this is not a lesson of life. If you complain enough, you won't always get your way. You won't get out of Orlando.
That's right.
A terrible example for the current stuff for the kids.
Yeah. But,
I mean, Orlando is the happiest place on earth for the kids, so this is a bad example because Orlando is filled with Disney World. But Dwight Howard, come on, man.
Killing me. Dwight Howard, stupid. Unless he came to the Blazers, then I wouldn't be upset at all.
I wouldn't be upset at all.
But yeah, the Lake Show, gross. I hope Nicholas Batum punches a ball.
Except Steve Nash.
Right.
Are you a Steve Nash fan?
Yeah, of course.
I feel very weird because I am in no way a Lakers fan.
Sure.
But I will enjoy watching Steve Nash this year compile 15 to 20 assists per game just throwing lobs to Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol and hitting Kobe.
It's going
to
be great. You know, when he was going to be a free agent, I was immediately excited about him playing on the Heat because it just seemed like all free agents go to die in Miami, like the rest of our nation.
Mike Miller, Shane Battier.
Right, yeah, and now Rashard Lewis and some other people.
Oh, it was the white guy who played for the Kings, not Jason Williams. Mike Bibby.
Mike Bibby. Yeah.
He didn't die though. He went to the Knicks to die. Him and J.R. Smith are best friends.
Right. But anyway, yeah, so Steve Nash, I was expecting him to play with LeBron and Dwayne Wade and have to try and figure out that whole, like, who's going to hold the ball scenario. But it's going to be, L.A. is a fun little idea, isn't it? I mean, Pau Gasol has to be the best fourth option ever.
Well, it's a pretty crazy thing that Steve Nash,
that's the fourth option.
I think Steve Nash is, and I think that in some situations Dwight Howard will be, because Steve Nash is one of the statistically best shooters of the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, for even longer.
Last year he was he's done this many years in a row, the 50-40-90 club, 50% from the field, 40 from three, and 90 from the free throw line. He doesn't care about points. Dwight Howard, he may not care about points either. Let Kobe get his, shoot his 25 shots a game, Powell will get his, and then Dwight Howard's going to clean up a lot of the mess, and Steve Nash is going to take care of, you know, free throws down there. I was going to say the rest, it would have rhymed really bad, so I stuttered there. I didn't want to do it. But Steve Nash will take care of the rest. It's kind of a scary proposition.
It is.
Oh, and Antoine Jameson is their sixth man. Hello, championship.
Antoine Jameson, I forgot about him.
Anton. Maybe it's Anton. Sorry, Anton or Antoine.
I'm just excited. I mean, everybody knows Dwight Howard's one of the most charismatic guys out there. I'm just excited for the first time that he and Meta World Peace have to communicate with each other. Because I feel like they're not going to be able to have a conversation that doesn't end with pranks being pulled, shenanigans being thrown.
Do you think there'll be a time where, like, we'll look back at it, or we'll look at a player and be like, man, classic Ron Artest, just recreating himself. And then once he's done that, elbowing someone in the head as hard as he can. Like, are we going to look at a player and go, oh, classic Ron Artest right there? I don't know if that's ever going to happen again.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I can't even think of who the candidates would be. You know?
Like, Steven Jackson definitely made a run, but now he's with the Spurs, and that'll never happen again. Let's see. Yeah, it's a funny thought to look about other sports, because, like, football players are nuts.
Yeah.
But they don't recreate themselves as world peace striving people.
No, not at all. It would be like if Ricky Davis, you know, remember from the Celtics, triple-double guy?
Yeah.
If he came out of retirement and just started being all about, like, autism awareness or something like that, you know?
I guess, in a weird sense, Ricky Williams, you said Ricky, and it reminded me of Ricky Williams who just quit football to smoke weed and go for and to attain world peace. But he didn't really go back to like a vicious person when he came back. He just started running the ball a little bit to make some money because he was bankrupt.
That's what I do.
So we say all that to say that Damian Lillard is Michael Jordan.
Damian Lillard is going to be the savior, man. I'm already excited. As soon as he got drafted, I started looking for T-shirts.
That's really funny because you walked in on me. It's $60 on trailblazers.com for a Damian Lillard jersey.
Send me that link.
Oh, yeah, you got it. I think if we got ones to match, it would be all right.
Well, I mean, they all have to match if they're, you know, if they all say
Lillard. Well, you could get a white one. I don't look good in
white. I don't know if I've ever seen someone wear a white Blazers jersey. I feel like they're always black.
Or the red.
Maybe red.
Yeah, the red. Okay.
Red's good.
We can discuss this another time, I suppose. I do think it's funny that the Damian Lillard jersey is $60, but every Alders jersey is $90.
There you go.
Why don't you just get the
All-Star appearance, yeah.
I guess you could put the All-Star patch on there.
Yeah.
Is there anything Blazers we need that's pressing? Do you want to get off your chest or anything like that?
I mean, we talked a little bit about Terry Stotts. And
we don't know enough to talk anymore about him.
It's kind of weird that, yeah, like, I only know that number, and I know that he coached for a team that I hate. And I feel like there are a lot of those, like, this is going to be a really reconciliatory year for me as a Blazers fan. Because
okay.
There's a ton, I mean, J.J. Hickson's on there, Terry Stotts now. I just feel like there's a lot of people ending up on my roster that I love to hate before.
Jared Jeffries was one of those for me.
Yeah, he's you know, he always ended up making a play that you didn't expect because he classically underachieves all the time.
Hmm. But, I mean, you still have your favorite player, Luke Babbitt, on the team.
I still got Luke Babbitt.
And, why are we collecting white people? I'm sorry.
his nickname now, Chalupacabra. Because
Chalupacabra.
Because they put him in to score the 100th point in the Rose Garden.
Oh, nice.
All the time. That's all he does.
I actually believe that the free chalupa for 100 points is why the Blazers are still in Portland and the Sonics are not in Seattle.
thank you, Taco Bell. Taco Bell is sponsor of today's podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Taco Bell. Because without them, the Blazers wouldn't be here. So, I guess they are a sponsor in some strange way.
Yeah, we got Luke Babbitt still.
Yeah.
Which is good, some consistency.
Victor Claver?
Claver.
Okay.
French or something. Or Spanish? I don't know.
I can look it up. Yeah.
Is anyone really going to care, though? He's not going to play. He didn't
Spain.
He didn't even play in the Olympics.
Yeah, he's from Spain. How did he not play? They didn't have Rubio. Okay, that's just
to be fair,
he's 6'9". Never mind.
They also didn't play Serge Ibaka.
They didn't
so.
Play Ibaka? Why didn't they play Ibaka?
I don't know. But, I mean, if Claver ends up being Ibaka, I would not be upset.
That'd be a good trade.
That would be a good trade.
I don't know what we're trading in that situation. We're trading him being bad for him being good. That's a fantastic trade.
You do that trade anytime.
Every day. Josh, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Absolutely, man. Thanks
for
having
me. That was fun. We're going to send this in. I'm going to make $1 million, and we'll have you on the show again.
Great. Thanks.
Yep. Sounds good. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk soon.
See you later.
So, what did you get at the store?
Jelly beans.
Nice.
As well as a ginger beer.
Should have saved the pop for the mic. That would have been really nice. Okay. We're just going to try, like, when you're talking, just make sure you're kind of looking, or you're
right here,
projecting towards the mic, and it should be fine. State your name.
Josh Norquist.
Good. So, recently.
What's up? Yeah. Local connection. And then assistant coach for the Mavs. His head coaching. Oh, this is great. His head coaching record. He's 115 and guess the number.
115 and 200? 168. Oh, that's good. Better than I just was aiming real low. I was aiming real low on my love for him. And yeah, I remember Joey texting me the name and I was like, I don't have any idea who that
person?
Hooray, it's not the 12-year-old.